ordinance, Councilor Zulak, I've resigned.
Oh.
So I could run.
Good luck. And if there were any questions on Whitestone, I could answer.
John Jackson, repair of Keller Township and Whitestone as well. I want to thank the Keller Council for this morning, and I'm not as articulate as my previous speakers, but I believe in the next 10 years, there's going to be unprecedented development in the Perry Sound area. We need people to come in. They need a place to stay, to work, and to play. And I keep hearing about what the cost is going to be, and our tax dollars are going to be up. And, well, there is a way to combat that. It's been mentioned already today about the fundraising. Hop on board the fundraising events that are coming up in the near future. I even bought a t-shirt. Some of the proceeds go to the pool. You can do that as well. And this is nothing new, but this summer, my wife and I were at a provincial park, and my wife assisted in saving a young gentleman who was 20 years old, and in fact, another gentleman, and he couldn't swim. If it hadn't been for my wife and another lady that assisted after, he would have died. He had a life jacket on. The life jacket went up over his head, couldn't swim. And they went out in the water. My wife was first to get to him. And if it hadn't been around the point, he would have been gone. But it was in front of us. We've seen it. We've heard it. And you can't put a price on someone's life. That young man, and whether you're learning in the lake out here, as most of us did here in this area, or a pool, you can't put a dollar figure on a young man's life that was 20 years old. He was pretty thankful when he got back to the beach. And that's just one example of why everybody should have access to swimming lessons. There's going to be, they've already established a head instructor. He'll have great swimming lessons for your kids and grandkids to partake. Another thing is that I've witnessed, there's a lot of people in this room, and two of the present counselors had sons play in the Perry Sound hockey rink, Bobby Orr hockey rink. I did as well. And to the best of my knowledge, Keller Township hasn't contributed a cent to the Bobby Orr Center. Hey, it's about time we started supporting the area initiatives and stop being a freeloader.
Just to remind the people on Zoom that you'll get your opportunity.
My name is Alex Hurt. Steve, Joe, and Rob, and you should go to Perry Sound Council. Wow. Those numbers are mind-blowing. I'll be quick. I think most of you know how I feel. I don't mind subsidizing facilities, but I don't like people fudging numbers. Whether it's intentional or not, I don't know, but there's not a chance in heck they're going to get 2,000 members. Not a chance. Not even half of that. Guarantee it. I've owned a fitness facility for 20 years, and I know how many people come through. Not a chance. And I think maybe they should pre-sell membership. So if everyone wants to join so badly, maybe get a 10% discount, put your money in the trust, and pay $500 or $600 for your pool. And maybe get a 10% discount because, you know, it's being held for a few years, but see how many people sign up for that, how many memberships you get for pre-sale. Kind of like condominiums or the gyms in Toronto. So that's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Niall Bracken. I'm a ratepayer in both McKellar and McDougall, so get the double whammy with this one. First of all, thank you, Mayor, and the Council for organizing this session. I'm finally glad that people are talking about this particular guess my first question, which I still don't have an answer to, is what is the problem we're trying to solve here? What's the value going to add, and what's the cost of that value? I've been a program manager working globally within the financial institutions, and nothing's for free. So when you get people and you see statistics like 85% said they'd love to have a pool, I want to reflect on that they obviously weren't told what the costs are, and we're not told what the costs are. And I guess I challenge the council to say, why in God's name are we giving anybody any money at this point in time? We don't have the scope of the project. That's a red flag on any project manager screen. We don't understand what the costs are. That's the second red flag, okay? And obviously we don't know what the end product's going to be. So I really think that, and I look to the mayor, and I look to the council, I really look to you folks to say, let's stop this madness. Let's get people involved. There's been no mandate from the community that I'm aware of on a broader basis across any one of these townships. And with all due respect to the councils and the mayors in these townships, it's time for them to talk with the people on the ground, the people who are going to fund this. Because as people have pointed out, if we lose this ICIP grant, we're not going to get money again. And I'm not opposed to putting a pool in, by the way. I'm not opposed to any of that. But let's understand and let's be open about it, and let's talk to the community and let's tell them what these costs are so that folk can make an actual decision. I'm all for democracy. If the majority of people, when the mandate goes out, says this is going to cost $32 million and you're on the hook for X amount and there's a vote on it, I'm totally okay with that. And I'm not in any way jumping beyond the council's responsibility or the mayor's responsibility in any of these municipalities. I just don't think those conversations have taken place. I am a recent blow-in. I moved in permanently in McAllister and McDougal in the last 3 years. And I can tell you, I've owned a property up here for 18 years. And I have at no time been approached about a pool going into West Parry Sound. And I think that speaks volumes about the COVID operation that's going on here. Thank you very much.
And we have no control of the cost. They can say, okay, we're going to have a a professional ball field put in. Nobody can do anything about it. Because if all the majority has to say is we want it. We want it. Two townships, Seguin went to Seguin, Perry Sound at six. They only need one vote from somebody else. And they've gotten the show. How can that be fair? How can that be? I don't understand how that can be considered this contract that you signed or whatever agreement can be filed in a court of law. With all the nonsense and wrong figures put forward, somebody should challenge it. So, the steering committee, who oversees the steering committee? Is there any oversight?
We take our direction from the board.
Oh, okay. So you report to the board, you make a recommendation to the board, and the board approves your recommendation.
Correct.
So if they're looking for an employee, you pick the employee, you put it to the board, and they rubber stamp, right?
And they decide whether it's
honest.
Yeah. That's exactly.
So you pick anything like that. You are the people, yeah. Your group is who's running this committee. No offense or anything
nope.
Like that, not responsible.
No.
And another issue. Who prepares the agenda?
The chairman.
For the committee.
For the steering committee? For the steering committee?
Yeah,
that would be Clayton Harris. He's the chairman of the board, or mm-hmm. of the steering committee.
And who, what township does she represent?
The town of Perry Sound.
And the CAO, who's the chair?
Of the
committee.
Of the steering committee?
No, of the
Donald Sanderson. Board. Donald Sanderson is the chairman of the...
And he is on the head of the hospital, right?
Yes.
And he wanted the pool all along, correct?
To my knowledge, yes.
Okay, so who sets the agenda for the pool, for the board?
I believe that's done through the town of Perry Sound office.
I see. I see. Now, I was a young man. Company thought of all that imagine. You know, you got to buy this, you do this, you sell so much. Pyramid. I was 15 years old. My older brother took me there. I seen the con right away. I've been fortunate being hard of hearing. I contemplate. I figure why. I want to know why on everything. Drives my wife crazy. That's part of life. And I want to know why and how this come about. Where was the oversight? Well, there's just too much wrong. Somebody has to challenge it. You're worried about using the grant? Well, we're paying 4.5%, 4.41% now, aren't we? You think the grant's money, they're gonna pull it out of the government's pocket? We're gonna borrow that too, we're paying for that too. Is that free? There's nothing free. As far as health care, they need the hospital. We need to build the hospital with $87 million, and that was to bring doctors here. Now we're going to build a $32 million building, bring doctors here. Doctors are in the business for money. What is going to come next? Private golf course? I don't understand that reason. There's no reason. That's just put out there to make everybody feel good. That's why we have such a long waiting list. It's simply a population issue. And I had so many things that just go out and I sort of apologize, but that was also tenders. And the most important thing, I think to finish with, that they can expand in anything they want as long as majority says. This pool, it's not the end. Anything they want. And that's dangerous.
But no oversight. Thank you. Well, he's going up next.
Hi, my name is Ken Jackson. I lived here my whole life, and I'm a repair here. I've heard a lot of things today. A lot of financial things that certainly I'm not a rich man, but I enjoy writing a check twice a year to Keller Township for my taxes. No, I don't pay it at all. But it's necessity. And get some progress like a pool or maybe some other projects that might come along. I've heard lots of numbers tonight. I've seen one there this afternoon. I've seen one on the screen. I've seen people talk about them. Mr. Plum obviously has a lot of numbers there. And he's put a lot of time into it, there's no question. And I can't argue with his numbers. I can't necessarily agree with some of them either, because I haven't done the amount of work into it that he has. But we need to, in this entire area, work together. I hear a lot of negativity about the pool, and that's what bothers me. I really think that it is a very important thing for the area to have. And I this is just off the top of my head here. I don't have a speech or anything, so I'm a little bit jumbled. But I think it's very important, and I just don't like seeing the negativity amongst people, period. Mr. Zulak said that it's pitted neighbor against neighbor, and he's right on that. And I don't like that, and I think people need to learn to get together and work for the betterment of everybody, not just for this township, not just for the town of Perry Sound, or any other municipality. We need to work together instead of being negative all the time. I see things on websites and stuff, and I see a lot of complaining, and I'm not seeing a lot of people saying, hey, that's, my neighbor has an opinion, I gotta listen to it, he should listen to mine, and let's come to an agreement somewhere here in the middle. It's just negativity that bothers me more than anything. I really hope that this pool goes ahead in one form or another. It may not be affordable the way it was presented to begin with, but there's gotta be a way to make it happen, and I'll be very upset with this township if it doesn't support it somehow to get it done. So, thank you.
Express their opinions. We're not all right, we're not all wrong, but we have opinions. And I appreciate this opportunity for people to say what they think and what they feel. And that's been sadly lacking this whole process since 2018 when it started. The concerns I have about this, I'm not against the pool by any stretch of the imagination. I think it would be a welcome facility for West Perry Sound. But I think you have to look at the cost and find out what is affordable. One of the major concerns is that the information we're provided with is virtually non-existent. It's hidden, they hide, the Joint Municipal Service Board hide behind these closed meetings. We don't know what they're doing, we don't know what they're saying, and there are some things we shouldn't know. But every time something else comes up, and I started investigating, I get new information. I obtained a copy of the Joint Municipal Services Board budget last week. And I go through it, and one thing that hits me immediately is that, as you're probably aware, the board itself cannot borrow the money. They have a funding gap, if these figures are correct, which shows that within the next 3 years, the municipalities are going to have to come up with $4 million. To fund this project. Think about it. Mm-hmm. That's on top of what you'll be paid. Mm-hmm. And there are certain things I said where we maybe shouldn't have access to information. And that is really the biggest problem as far as I'm concerned, is that we're voicing opinions and we're making statements about what we want, what we don't want, but we really don't have a clue what they're doing. We don't know where it's going to be. We don't know how big it's going to be. We don't know what it's going to cost. They don't know how they're going to finance it. And what is the agenda at the end of it? There was a memorandum signed by Clayton Harris and ISIP stating that if they advance money and this project is not built or goes bankrupt, you and all the other residents in these municipalities are going to have to pay that money back, millions of dollars. So my question is, when are we going to have a proper meeting with the board where they explain what they're doing and why? It's 4 years since this started. We still don't even have a site for it. 4 years. But I've done a lot of independent studies, and Robert and I know each other, but we've come to several conclusions, and in most cases they're the same conclusion. I don't know if Peter Hopkins came up with the same deficit projection, maybe a little bit less. It was huge. So why are they still standing by the 300,000 operating deficit from 4 years ago, 3 years ago? It's not going to happen. Look what's happened. The 32 million is based upon construction for the project back in 2019, 4 years ago. Somebody, Mr. Blunt, referenced it. He said they recognize the cost of about 35 to 45%. That was a year ago. So then at 50%. So that $32 million, forget it. Unless they build just a pool with nothing else. So I appreciate this very much. I appreciate the opportunity to express my opinion, whether I'm right or wrong. You can form your own judgments, but I hope this really progresses. I know the car is full of public meeting. And I think finally ratepayers are going to get a chance to say yes or no. And it's not just money. It's just a principle involved in this thing. It's just totally wrong. I'll leave it at that. Thank you very much.
Experience have presented to us today, and that we've heard previously. It's been addressed as being negative. I don't think it's negative. I think it's realistic. And this is the beginning of something that I feel should have happened many years ago. So kudos that at least we're starting now. But I don't even know how to ask the question. What happens when a $32 million pool becomes a $55 million pool with no escape clause, and we have one vote? And it doesn't matter whatever our vote is, it's never going to count. Because we're always going to be outweighed by two larger townships plus one. And I can't even say more than that, except it's alarming. And this here is a tiny step to start, but there's a whole bigger picture with the Perry Sound, with the board there and so on, which has been pointed out, is represented by Sound people, but it's our township that I'm concerned about, and is it going to make us go bankrupt? It sort of looks like it to me, if there isn't a way to get out of this. So, I don't know if that's a question, but if we're registering how we feel, I'm not for or against it, but I'm alarmed, and I appreciate that you're starting to look at something, and I'm fearful for where this may go without a lot of these great articulate questions from experienced people that have been closed. So, thank you.
Thank you. Won't be the last call, but maybe we can have somebody from Zoom come in. Yes, Gordon? One quick one, okay. It's stated, yes.
But they can force collection of it. They can bill you and make you pay whatever they want. They just can't boil for it.
Or can go. Yes, okay.
Is
that correct?
Well, we don't have the treasurer here, but at that particular meeting when they wanted the money up front, they wanted it sooner, I put out to the board, it's all in a public meeting, that that be held over for a couple of months because we didn't have the finances at that time. It was voted down. I had one vote, and the rest said pay immediately.
So we paid the full amount, which is $723,174, and that's the full amount we already paid it.
That's the full amount we're paying to the board, but does that include time on the steering committee?
No, that doesn't include that, the...
That's over and above, right? So we're actually paying more. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'll call on Carly, if there's anybody on Zoom that wishes to speak.
No, for the construction, we do have a construction company in place. There are some negotiations. Some things had to be reconsidered. And the steering committee is working on that. We're waiting to get some information, again, from the architects and from the construction company. And until we have that information from them, we don't have anything to present to the board for them to make a decision. And that's where our holdup is there's some negotiations in regards to construction, site, et cetera, and until that we have that confirmed, we have nothing to present to the board for them to make a decision on.
But it's a fair question whether there's an actual date, expiring date, when things have to be known by, and right now it doesn't seem to be. It seems to be whenever they're ready to come back and report.
But you know, as has been stated, there has to be a timeline, and then you know, I guess another part of the question is, you know, you've taken opinions from today, but we're 40 people or however many. Is there any plan to? Well, it's a two-part question. Is there any plan to get a proper, a more comprehensive understanding of the wishes of the township, which I partially feel is a little dangerous in one sense, because we just don't have enough information. So there's people saying, you know, I'm for it or against it, but we actually don't, as is very evident today, we don't really know what we're talking about. So it just becomes a personal negative neighborly thing when neither neighbor is actually informed enough to be able to say properly. But So I guess I just wondered, you said you want stuff over the next couple of weeks from people in terms of what their opinions are. Again, not perhaps properly informed. But then is there an opening for you to be able to convey that to, you know, the board? And is it going to do anything even if they know we don't care? We've got a signed agreement, so.
Well, in the past, I have been able to put a couple of items on the agenda by going through the town to Rebecca. It's not as easy to do as you might think, but so that's a possibility. I guess maybe back to what the representative of Whitestone said, they went with the survey with even less information than we have now, I think, and they acted upon that survey. So there are possibilities for what this council does. I'm hearing, just from here, again, we wanted all that writing, but even those who are questioning the figures, et cetera, are not opposed to a pool necessarily, but I'd have to see all that in writing. But I think there's some agreement that there be some downsizing, and that will depend, I guess, on the architects, what they come up with for the design, and what the other major players in this board actually decide. So,
would you consider a call out to the repairs of McKellar for input in a way such as was done in Whitestone?
I'm not sure how, maybe Joel Lang can speak to how they actually did it. You said it was a survey through the township office?
It was, yeah, my mobility isn't all great. Yeah, when we did the survey, we knew the monies. We knew they were asking for $527,000 and $18,000 in our contribution to the operating losses. No, we sent out, I think, in our newsletter, and we linked it to council itself, other than approving it, didn't have anything to do with it. It was run by the clerk and the CAO and whatever. And every email and letter was kept in a binder. And it was basically, do you support the pool or do you not support the pool? That was the bottom line of the whole thing. There may have been a couple of other questions in it. And as I say, someone said 85% were for it. It was the opposite. 80%, 320 out of 400 said we want nothing to do with the pool. We won't use it. We're not going up and down the highway in the middle of the wintertime in a snowstorm to get a swimming lesson, right? And I read them all. So we did it, and we used that instrument. Well, we kind of used it. because the first vote that went on in Whitestone, it was I voted against it, and another councillor voted against the pool to begin with. And then afterwards, we negotiated sort of a middle ground. So I don't know whether that answers your question or not. It was a sort of simple thing. They were in binders, and you could flip through every single letter, right? And pretty much know whether they're for or against it.
I mean, it just makes sense, because I'm not aware, and I've been here almost 30 years, I'm not aware of that ever having been done. So, you were elected, but how do you know what you're representing? Because that's never passed. The other thing, if you were to go that step, I wonder if it would make sense, because there's also been a comment about, this threat of amalgamation or whatever. We do all, shop in Prairie Sound and get our hair cut there, go to the bank there, and do all those things. So, I personally wouldn't disagree that we need to, even if none of us ever go use the pool, that there is a greater geographic area here that we owe something to, because we use their roads and sidewalks and banks and so on in Prairie Sound. So, possibly would it make sense that if the council were to poll the community for are you interested or not, like Whitestone did, now that Whitestone has led the way, is there another second part to the question, which is, would you consider doing a one-time thing that we know is a fixed cost? We've played with others, we've put something in, even though whatever percentage says they're for or against.
If I might kind of respond to you quickly, and not to, it's up to this council, not me. You made a point about, you're never going to get your money back. So to do a survey sets up, again, more neighbors against neighbors or whatever, in my opinion, right? Because you've paid the money. They're not about to say, oh, there's a survey in McKellar, let's refund all the money. That's not going to happen.
No, that's
you're
true.
In. You've signed an agreement.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we didn't want to be in the agreement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it was smart, because we're not into all the stuff that Mr. Zulak and Robin Plummet, we're not into that, right?
Yeah.
The worst we're into is what we've committed to, right? And,
good point. I mean, we could wish for all this stuff, but it's
if council and Whitaker and McKellar had decided to do that, you probably wouldn't even be having the meeting.
Yeah.
I guess.
So the horse is out of the barn. So then the question really still is, what's next so that we don't go bankrupt?
Anyway,
it's been asked. Thank you.
Yes.
I just wanted to clarify a couple of points. One is the dealing with the whole concept of a referendum. In 2014, I suggested that we should have a referendum. I brought it to the other six councils to make it a universal thing so we have a broad basing, and it was not accepted. So that's the referendum question. We have had numerous studies on needs and interests of what we needed in the pool, and I'll validate the need for the pool. So that has already been done. So those are really critical questions. There is no area service that has ever been approved by a referendum, to my knowledge, in Perry Sound. We have DSAP, we have EMS, we have OPP, we have the health board. We all pay levies that are all based on formulas and stuff like that. Never, ever approved by a referendum in this community. So put it in perspective, we pay $1.1 million in annual fees to these five particular area services, which everybody uses or can use. There's available things. So it's an idea of a collaborative thing to provide services to all communities. Thank you.
Just for clarification, many of those boards you mentioned were mandated by the province and by the federal, so there'd be no point of a referendum. It comes from above. And I was on the welfare board when it became DSAP. We had no say in it, except we had some say in the composition of DSAP. And the actual governance model that was presented, that I came up with over a decade ago, is still in use today with 15 reps represented throughout the area. So a lot of those you use really don't apply to the referendum. The other thing on surveys, I just wanted to make clear, when people throw around figures like 80%, 85%, always have to remember how many people were surveyed and how they were surveyed. When you say 85%, very few people, relative to the number, were actually surveyed. And the first survey that went around for the pool was through telephone. And from my understanding, most, if not all, of the seasonal residents in McKellar were never contacted. So surveys, you have to look at the actual number of people being polled before you say 85% of people are in favor. We'll try to wrap this up by noon, but if there are any other comments, that's great. Doesn't sound like anybody on Facebook, so or on Zoom, sir.
$600,000 a year, and I don't know what else. There's others I can't remember. If I look at the last financial statement I got my hands on, it showed under working process, which is typically what happens, they take all the expenses, put them all together, and put them in working process.
We spent over $800,000 plus whatever's been committed to. We signed contracts which are binding for project managers, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't even have a site. We don't even have a plan. What are we building? Does anybody know? How can you do these things? How can you appoint these things? We've got no idea what we're doing.
Questions, comments, quickly. The floor is yours. As I said before, this is certainly very useful for council to hear this, but the written response is necessary as well. Even though there's still questions down the road what we do with the written responses, but I think that would be very helpful with concerns. Yes.
I'm concerned. So I write to the council, and there's lots, obviously, I have to say. I said I'm not opposed to the goal. What I'm opposed to is the fact that this is a, from where I stand and from what information I have, it's a corporate operation. So we'll just leave it at that. But what I'd like to understand is who else do I get to? Who's in charge of, you know, they almost say, show me the money. So who's going to drive that money? Because clearly, if we've got one vote on there, going back, as you pointed out, Mr. Mayor, with the objections, it could fall on deaf ears. So we've all spent 2 hours or 3 hours here this morning. There's some great comments, and I want to kind of refute that point about people are against the pool. I don't think anybody stood up here and said they were against the pool. I think what people said is, we seek to understand what's going on here. That's what we're really trying to do. We seek to understand. And once we understand, then we can make that informed decision, as I previously said. But again, who else can we reach out to? Do we need to go to the ministry? Do we need to go to the board? And how do we get them so that they hear our message? And please, this, I'm not saying that you can't convey that message, but it sounds to me, if you've got one vote and there's 12 players, that they can say, well, that's nice, but let's keep plowing ahead.
I'm thinking a letter to the board as such, which would go to the board so they could all see it. And as far as having any impact with voting, you're right, 1/12 of a vote. So I think what has to happen by looking at that, other municipalities that carry the majority vote also get on track with the same viewpoint that is being expressed here. They have some valid points here. That's been done before, certainly with the six lading as opposed to the four. All kinds of letters came to the board, inundated, email was full, because those are the people that supported the six lane. Whether that helped convince the board to go that way or not, but there were very few against it that came into the board. So I'm thinking something to the board itself that everybody can see, and then the other municipalities, and there is talk, certainly, they're aware too of the repairs and what they can afford. I mean, that came up years back. Somebody mentioned the hospital, the health center, when it went up. We actually met right here and actually did some negotiating, bargaining in the library at the time because everybody was to pay a certain amount, and we were short. And it was decided, you know, who's going to actually come up with some more. And one township did come forward, a township that had a fair bit of say, and not as much money as some of them, but they agreed to take it back to the council that they would come up with some more money. So I think that's the key to all of this. I'm banging my head against the wall at those meetings when I vote for certain procedures, it's not going anywhere. But I see some other townships, some reps, also now thinking, well, maybe it's not a bad idea. Maybe we have to revisit this. So I think that's the only way to make any inroads, to get them, the large voters anyway, on your side. There are some that are entrenched, and it won't matter what's brought forward probably, but I think they have to hear from the public. Right now, they're not hearing anything, so, you know, almost a carte blanche to just keep moving ahead on their own timeline. Yes. Yes.
So now that we're speaking on the voting, I was just wondering, what happens if there's a tie? Like, you bring these this forward, and there's a tie. Does the chair get to vote?
No, with the tie, it's defeated.
So your motion would be defeated.
But see, we had a 6-6 tie before when it was, I think it was the name change. And it's interesting because the website that they use is using the new name, even though it was voted down. There was Perry Sound, Archipelago, and McKellar voted against changing the name to the Pool and Recreation Center, whatever they came up with. They wanted to call it Pool and Rec, which their site does, but they wanted to keep recreation and cultural. Center of the culture was a key, and so Perry Sound, Archipelago, and McKellar voted to keep that. It was a 6-6 vote, with weighted vote, and the other people wanted to change it, mainly the fundraising, I think, committee, and it was defeated on a 6-6 weighted. So the chair did not vote on that. No.
Okay, so actually, if you brought this a motion forward for this, and all the municipalities except for Perry Sound and Seguin agreed with your motion, it's defeated.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So what I think the citizens here want to hear something that's going to be productive out of this meeting. And I think that something that would be an effective strategy is that McKellar Council puts together a summary of this meeting, the concerns that have been brought forward, and a resolution is passed, and that this summary and any further correspondence that we receive is all put into the summary, and that this is forwarded to the board as well, CC to the neighboring municipalities and the minister that's in charge of this funding grant, so that it's hitting all the hot spots where it needs to go, that it can't be just the board receiving something and then dissipating into producing anything productive. Because there's legitimate concerns here that the citizens and councils want to know. There's legitimate questions. We need to have these answers before they move on. This is the time to have those questions answered, not sometime into the future.
Okay.
I'm Sue Bracken. I'm paying tax. I'm a repair of both McKellar and Dougal. I thank you so much for doing this. I am really concerned about the financial commitment that, by accident potentially, we are all going to be saddled with. And I thank you so much for having this meeting. At the next meeting of all of the council, can you suggest that maybe other municipalities have meetings like this? We have not had one word from McDougal, not one word. And it concerns me when I look at the financial commitment. I think the financial commitment for McDougal was something close to 16.5%. Well, we haven't had one word. And I think, as somebody mentioned earlier, the initial survey was telephone. Well, yeah, we've owned our property for 18 years, but for the first 15, we didn't live here full time. But now we do. So did we get a voicemail message? I don't know, but we've never been asked about this pool. I can tell you that for sure. And one of the things that really concerns me is, if you look in the newspaper and the local newspaper, that food insecurity is a serious issue. And it's getting worse, not better up here. How are people going to pay increased taxes, make ends meet on their mortgage, feed their family, and pay $2,000 extra to join a pool? I don't think so. I think joining a pool is way down on the list of things that you have on a monthly basis to make ends meet. So it concerns me where the deficit is going to be made up by. I just think that there have to be lots of people in this 18,000 who are on fixed incomes. There's only so much money. And those people who are working, who are struggling to make ends meet, there is only so much money. And yet, they may want a pool, But did you know it was going to cost you $2,000 every year to use it? I don't know. And so if you send out a referendum sort of thing, without some financial parameters, would you be willing to support a pool if you had to pay X in taxes or, you know, an increase of Y in taxes and Z for membership? Would you be interested in that? I think that's a much fairer question than do you want a pool? You know, I'd like a mansion, but I'm not going to get that either.
Thank you.
One of the main rationales I see is to preserve our integrity when we go back for for another grant, or just preserve that grant. Say, we'd like to do the right thing here. Lots of circumstances have changed, councils have changed. Let's go back, we'll keep this $23 million, and we promise we'll come back with a better plan, with more support, something that makes sense, something that's not going to bankrupt every single municipality around here. And that's what I think is we could do as a way forward. But your council, Carling's council, all of these councils have basically, through this agreement, because of the way they're voting, given up their ability to control their own finances. And that's got to violate some part of the Municipal Act. Like, this council is elected to ride shotgun on your finances. They can't do it, though, when it comes to this pool. They're out of control. And I don't believe they're allowed to cede that kind of control. Maybe they are, but it was a mistake, and it's something that I think would receive a lot of attention at the province, and probably to their support. So that's what I would recommend every area council that has a concern pursue. Thank you. Thanks again.
My point is seen as minor after that. Thank you, Robin. At least ideas of how we can go forward. But back into Councillor Kecklin's thought. You email the township emails tax statements to the residents, so you must have the majority of emails. Could I suggest that if written material to you is helpful, that you email the taxpayers asking them to write you? Because a lot of people don't go and look on the website. I mean, I find this attendance a little alarming. But there are, I know we have many neighbors who are as concerned as we are, but they won't show up. They count on us to take it back, whatever. So you don't see that. But if they got an email saying, you need to express your concerns or questions or whatever, and if you could help make it easy for us, you also said it would be helpful to write the board. Can you give us that information? So again, I would probably dig and figure out who they are and how to write them, but my neighbors won't. And if you put it in their inbox, we might get a little bit more peace out.
I'm not sure of the logistics. Maybe I'm as far as email. I know we send out tax bills. That's not always assured that they're going to read what's in there, because we lost a lot of our transfer station stamps and just threw them out. So, do you think an email is an option, or is that too complicated?
I don't think we have as many email addresses as Ms. Keene is suggesting. We do have some, and again, you're correct. When we put the transfer station cards in the tax bills this year, and especially because a lot of people just have an automatic payment coming out of their account, they don't even open their tax bills, and they toss them out, and we had to do a major replacement of a lot of the cards. So whether a mass mail out, it would probably reach more people than an email would, but I don't know what our response would be if we would be really successful on that.
How about signage at the store and at the library or something? I don't know.
Oh, we could certainly look at doing some kind of signage information on the website for people that do go on the website or on the Facebook pages, saying that we have a survey. Could you please, complete the survey, send it back in, and have a section on that for their comments so that they can express what their concerns are. We could most certainly do that.
Okay. The investigator. Thank you. The other final comments? Ask Carly again. Anybody on Zoom?
Nope.
Any new council? Staff? Everybody's getting hungry? Skipping right down through, you'll be happy to know the confirming violence. Well, we have to come out of the public meeting first. And resolution 23-624, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular session at 12:15 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
None opposed, carried. Resolution 23-625, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-69, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, further read a third time in past and open Council this 23rd day of September 2023. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Just before I read this last one, again, a thank you to all those who came out today and expressed your opinions. And it's just unfortunate we couldn't give you many figures, but I think we do have a course of action, and we'll see where it goes from here. But certainly appreciate your attendance and your concern, even those on Facebook, even though the numbers aren't that high. So, I mean, I keep likening this to, they talk about the silent majority, but we're never sure what the silent majority is thinking, even if they have a majority view, because they're silent. And same with our last voter turnout, around 50% of the turnout. So unfortunately, people really don't get interested in some cases, even if the information is presented to them, until it affects them personally. So it's nice that you're proactive on this. We have Resolution 23-626, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at 12:17 p.m. Sorry, I talked to Lyons. To meet again on October the 3rd, 2023, or at the call of the mayor. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.